Madness Fitness Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the All Business Fitness Podcast. This is your host, Romer Mendez, and my co-host,
Joe Rich.
We have a very exciting guest for you guys today. As you guys know, we don't like to talk about us too much. We like to get it in right away. And we have here five-time world champion, Mr. Siobhan Cunningham. Siobhan, what's going on?
Hey, guys. What's going on? How's everything?
Good, man. Good. Thank you for being here. We're excited for this interview.
Thank you guys for having me. It's a real honor.
Absolutely, man. How's it going for you overall?
So far, so good. You know, enjoying the off season.
Nice. Yeah, you've been popping up a few pictures here and there online that are pretty scary.
Siobhan, with you, there is no off season, though, I feel.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's
pretty
what
much.
I thought. To be a world champ, you really can't get too far out of contest shape, can you?
It's not even so much getting too far out of concept shape. I think the misconception that most people have is just because you're not on stage, you just go crazy and eat everything that you see. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, it's not like you're prepping where you're keeping track of what your nutrition and your macros and stuff like that. But at the same time, everything is about balance. You know what I mean? You eat what you want, when you want. But at the same time, you have to know that eating two or three pies a day is just outrageous. There's no need for that. You know, I see these guys and they're having a pie and three or four milkshake, and I'm just sitting there like, okay, what is the purpose of that? You're not building anything but gaining fat. So if you're not building, what's the purpose of it? You know, that should be your focus. If you're not building, what's the purpose of it? So that's just my take. You know, I pretty much eat what I want. I don't keep track of anything. But I also know that there's a balance. You know, I can't just go crazy and just eat junk all day, every day. I mean, I could, but then, you know, like you guys said, that's what separates the elite guys from everybody else on stage. You know, I feel like competition on when during, you know, prep, competition are won on your off season. What you do during your off season is what's going to get you ready for the next time you step on stage. And if you're putting on 30, 40 pounds of fat just to take back off 30, 40 pounds of fat, you're still going to look the same as you did last year. As to the guy that just put on maybe 5 pounds of lean muscle, he's always going to look better than you, and he's always going to dominate you, because when you take off all that fat that you put on, you're going to look the same way. As to his 5 pounds of muscle, he's going to look like a big difference. So, you know, that's just my take on it.
Wow. And Siobhan, how far out do you let yourself go in the offseason?
Usually I'm about 20, 25 pounds over competition weight. You know, but again, it's all about balance and how you carry that weight. You know, not just start eating and stop working out. There has to be a combination and a balance of both. So.
Wow. So for everyone out there who doesn't know who Siobhan Cunningham is, again, if you're involved in natural bodybuilding or bodybuilding, you know who this guy is here. You know, especially up here in Buffalo, New York, Siobhan was a guest poser for the DFAC Buffalo Natural Fall Fest along with Vicky McCann. And that crowd went nuts when you went
bonkers.
I don't know if they went bonkers for me or because you guys put on such a great show. That's awesome. I think it's because you guys promoted such a great show and was so great to all the athletes that was there. I think that was that's what they were crazy about the most, not me.
No. I'll tell you this. At the after party, when I spoke with a few competitors and everyone, and I was asking, what was your best experience? They said when we had the overall pose done and we had everyone come on stage and you went up there and guest posed with them. I mean, that was, for them, that was something I know that they're going to remember until they're, you know, 60 years old. So thank you for that.
That was an awesome experience for me too, man. That was great. I really appreciate you guys, and I really appreciate making me a part of the event. It was really great.
So, Siobhan, if you can walk us back to the first time you picked up a weight, when was that?
That was probably about 15 years ago. Yeah, just about 15 years ago.
How old were you? And obviously, how old were you now?
No, I'm 32 now. I'm going to be 33. So I was like 17 back then.
Wow. And where was that?
Our landlord that lived below us, he had like some dumbbells. So I would go down every day, even after work, and I'd do some curls and whatnot. And I really started developing arms. And then, you know, people would tell me, like, you know, you have nice arms, but you need to work in your chest and your back. I was fresh here from Jamaica. So when people were telling me, oh, you need to go to the gym, I'm like, huh, a gym? What is that? And it just so happened that I got a job, and where I was working at, I didn't realize it, but there was actually a gym, like a door down. So one day on my lunch break, I saw it. I'm like, oh, this is gym thing I keep hearing about. Let me go see what it's about. So I just walked up there, and, you know, I started looking around and asking around, and I signed up, and then, you know, it just took off from there. I just never stopped.
Wow. And what made you compete in your first competition, and when was that?
God, I've been competing for so long. I think my first competition was probably 9-10 years ago. And at the gym, like I said, you know, I started working out, and, you know, I started asking questions, and some of the guys in the gym were really nice to me to help me out. And, you know, there were others that was, you know, wasn't so nice, you know, kid, if you don't know what you're doing, get the F out of here, you know, that's the mentality they had towards me. But there was this older gentleman, his name is Shaft, and I used to compete in the IMBF, and he would always tell me, hey, man, you should come do a natural show, you do really good. And I didn't know such thing existed. You know, I had no clue there was such a thing. All I saw was these juiced-up guys that was in the magazines and whatnot. I mean, I still admire their physique because they look good overall, but, you know, I didn't know there was such a thing as natural organizations. And, you know, after bugging me for about a year, one Friday night, it was like, you know, I'm doing a show tomorrow. You should come do the show. You look really good. And I'm like, you know, just to get you off my back, screw it. I'll go do it. And my first show ever was the IMBF Long Island Experience. Phil Satilli was the promoter. And I won that show, won amateur. I won novice. I won the entire show. And then I also won best arms and I think best abs. So after that, I was just motivated, and I never stopped after that.
Wow. Look at that. It's the first show.
That speaks volumes about you, Siobhan. And then after that, you went on to – was it the next show that you won your pro card?
No, actually, winning my pro card was, again, like I said, it was a bit more difficult. I really didn't know much about the sports. I didn't know anything about dieting and nutrition or anything like that. You know, it's just from working out and, you know, just eating and, you know, going to the gym or whatnot. And I think it took me another 3 tries to actually win a pro card. So I think it was the following year, in June, I won my pro card at IMBF show that Robert Fulton promoted in Connecticut.
Connecticut, I remember.
Yeah,
okay.
I won my pro card at that show.
Wow. And then I know we mentioned pro cards, and I know this is a subject that you have been into on Facebook, but... What do you think of the current status of the natural pro cards in the whole entire fitness world? I know.
Honestly, compared to when I started, the fitness world is in serious trouble. It's in serious, serious trouble compared to when I started. Because, you know, when I started, and even if you, when you won a pro card, when I started, you were ready to step on that pro stage. You know, you go to amateur shows and you're watching amateur shows and you're like, are these amateurs or the pros? And if you didn't know the difference, you would think those amateurs are pros. And, you know, today I just see pro cards being handed out left and right, and it means nothing anymore. You know, back then, to earn a pro card or to be a pro, it was an honor. You know what I mean? I've met guys that have been competing for 10, 15 years, looked phenomenal, but I've never won a pro card. I've never went pro. You know, now any Joe Schmo could hop on stage and gets a pro card, as like they call it now, the cereal box pro card, because it seems like that's how it works. You just got to, you know, enter a show, even if you're the only one in that weight class. A pro card for you, a pro card for you, and a pro card for everybody. And, you know, that's why the natural bodybuilding industry is in so much trouble as it is right now, because you have so many pros who, and I don't want it to sound like I'm frowning my nose on at anyone or being disrespectful, but you have so many guys who are not even worthy of being amateurs that are holding pro status. And then you have a million different organizations, and with all these organizations, the ranks of the pros is just being watered down and watered down and watered down. And, you know, people now looking at the sport as a joke. Because, you know, sometimes they see some of these guys and they're like, that guy's a pro, are you serious? You know, so now people are not taking it as serious anymore. A lot of athletes are not taking it as serious anymore. Because when they look at what they have to strive for, there's really not much to motivate them if you're just trying to go pro. You know, if you're trying to compete at that elite status, it's a different story. But if you're just trying to win a pro card or, you know, just say you're a pro, it's really not much work these days. You know what I mean? You just got to pick the right show and you're in. So that's just how I see it going as of lately.
Yeah, and I agree with you on there too. I think that it's and I'll tell you, obviously, I never got my pro card, but I'll tell you that the back when I competed back in the 2007, 2010 era around there, I feel like it was more prestigious to earn a pro card. You looked at a pro and it was like, wow, he's a natural pro. Now it seems like every gym that you go to, you find natural pros just walking in and out, you know? And obviously, I'm not going to say we can't say that no one deserves it, because obviously there are a lot of deserving pros out there, you know. But I think there is something that has to be done eventually, because just like you said, and then essentially what happens is there's a conversation that I've had a lot with Vicky McCann and Guy Addison out in the UK, especially how they have their systems there at the BMBF, that they only give out one pro card a year. They have 9 or 10 qualifiers, so you have to compete, you have to qualify. And when you qualify for their British, I believe it's British Championships, their final title, the winner of that gets a pro card. So it does become more prestigious if we only give out one single pro card a year.
Not only does it become more prestigious, but it gives athletes something to really strive for. You know what I mean? It's like they know they're only going to get one shot at this year. So they're going to work their tail off to make sure that one shot counts. Everyone wants that one pro card. You know, back when I started, you probably may have had 4-5 pro qualifying shows a year. The Natural Mania, which was a super pro qualifier, and I think the Hercules. Those were the two biggest show where, you know, everybody who wanted to have a pro card, who wanted to go pro, those are the show that they were most eager to get in. And for the fact that they knew that every winner of each weight class would get a pro card. So that would be about 4 or 5 pro cards being handed out a show. Now you go to a show and they handed out 10, 12, 15 pro cards in one show with less than 20 athletes. You know, I've seen shows where one person has gotten 5 pro cards in one show. How is that humanly, how is that possible? You know, and all you can do is scratch your head, and you just scratch your head, and you're like, okay, I guess somewhere out there it's possible. But, you know, if you realize that the guys that are really at the top of the sport right now are guys that have been competing since back then when going to pro wasn't easy. You know what I mean? Those are the guys that are still competing at a very high level at the top of the sports, because they know what it takes not just to go pro, but to know what it takes to get up there with a pro and, you know, not just hold your own, but, you know, stand out. You know, I mean, if you notice that most of these guys that are just being handed pro cards, they get on stage against any pro that's, you know, semi-good or, you know, in great shape, and it's just a blowout, you know, because they haven't really grasped the concept of what it really takes, the hard work it takes to be a pro. They just know that they showed up at a show, it was 2 of them in a weight class, and he got a pro card. That's all they really know and understand. So,
all right, and that's definitely a good point to bring up. I know I've shared this conversation a lot with, and actually Vicky McCann was the one that told me this, what I'm about to say, and it did make sense. And you see a lot of pros or a lot of amateurs that are very good amateurs, you know, good amateurs. They get their pro card. But then once they make it to the pro stage, it's like, where do they go? You know, and I think that's a problem, too, of giving out too many pro cards. Because essentially what you're doing is you're going to block out some amateurs that now they're pros to be able to compete at a good level, because they have to compete against, you know, again, pros, the best of the best.
I mean, I agree. I definitely agree with that, because, you know, you give, like you said, you see some of these guys that goes pro and then, you know, where do you go? You know, what happened to this person? Because, you know, now that they have really just been given a pro card, they don't have the caliber or the experience to get up there with a pro that's been competing for 10, 15 years and hold their own. So now, you know, I guess I guess now just saying that I'm a pro is good enough. You know, before, when you win a pro card, it's not just to disappear. Before, when a pro gets a pro card, he's eager to get out there and prove himself year after year after year after year, no matter what it takes. Now it seems like, you know, as soon as guys get a pro card, that's good enough for me. I got that pro card, so that's it. You know, interesting fact that a lot of people probably don't know. When I won my pro card, my first pro show I did, I placed dead last.
Wow.
I placed last because I placed last because I didn't really have the knowledge that it took to, you know, really get dialed in. I didn't really know much about, you know, nutrition and stuff like that. But then, you know, after that, I got off, you know, after I got off stage, I was flipping through a magazine and, you know, I remember I saw Clarence McGill. And okay. I said to myself, she might as well give it up now. You'll never look like that guy. And, you know, in the back of my mind, it's like, well, you know, you could quit now or you could strive to be like that guy. And I'm like, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to prove that I'm deserving of this status and I can stand up there with the best of them. And, you know, that's just what I did. But, you know, for the most part, these guys get a pro card. And, you know, I think it's probably the same thing. They look at some of these pros that are competing at high level and they're like, you know, I'll never be able to stand next to them. So, you know, that's it. I'm pro. That's good enough.
Yeah, Siobhan, while you're getting a little fired up, I want to know what else pisses you off about either natural bodybuilding or the fitness industry in general. What really grinds your gears?
What really grinds my gears? Somebody that does one competition, plays fourth, and tomorrow is a prep coach.
Ooh.
And you're like, how in God's green earth is that possible?
Did you know I was going to ask you this? I feel like
you know. You know what? It was me and a buddy of mine talking about the same thing. It's like, you know, this guy that I know, who's, you know, a good friend of mine, the guy did one amateur show, placed fourth, and before you know it, this guy is, like, fully sponsored. Is at Arnold, all expense paid, and it has nothing to do with, you know, aiding or being jealous, but this guy, all expense paid, and, you know, you got guys that have won multiple shows, multiple titles, sitting at home on the couch, like, something is wrong with this picture.
Yeah.
What is wrong with this picture? You know, you got guys that do one show that plays fourth out of maybe five, and then the next day, yeah, for prep coach and personal training, and you're like, what? Isn't that the same guy that plays fourth yesterday in his first show? Today he's a nutritional coach and he's a personal trainer? I mean, that I think more than anything, that's what frustrates me the most, more than anything.
Okay, that's a good reason to be frustrated. Another thing I was curious about was, since you're one of the best in the world, Siobhan, do you think you can hold your own with the guys in the MPC in your weight class if you were ever to get on the MPC stage? Do you think you can hold your own?
I don't know about one of the best in the world, but, I mean, those MPC guys that are, I mean, I definitely think I could hold my own.
I do too.
I mean, you know, 180 with a little bit of something to help may look a little bit different from 180 natural, but, you know, I feel like when it comes to, you know, conditioning and just overall symmetry, I definitely think I would be able to hold my own up there.
I do too. Definitely.
And Siobhan, what is your contest weight ballpark?
I mean, you know, different organization, you know, look for different things. So, you know, if depending on how many shows I'm doing a year, I usually stay between 180 and 185, depending on the show that I'm doing. You know, depending on the organization and what is it that you're looking for and what's their qualification. But for the most part, I think 183 is my sweet spot. Like, you know, that's where I'm, like, really dialed in and, you know, I could hit it on any stage, any organization.
Wow.
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 And, Siobhan, I know you competed with, I mean, pretty much I can say maybe all different federations out there. Maybe if you can touch on a few things that maybe you like and don't like about each or a few.
I mean, it's never been a secret that ever since last year, my first time with the DFAC in 2014, I think that was. It's never been a secret that ever since the first time I competed with them, they have like completely won me over. And it's for the fact that, you know, I just see how Vicky McCann and all those guys, you know, how they treat the athletes, you know, and they're all about the athletes, you know, everything they could do to help the athletes. And, you know, I was just never used to that, you know, just competing. I'm just used to, you know, okay, give us your entry fee, pay for your polygraph, you know, pay for this, pay for that. Okay, bye.
Get the hell out. You know, get the hell out.
Just get the hell out. You know what I mean? And that's how I'm used to being treated. And, you know, I tell the story all the time to people everywhere. And this is one of the things I will never forget. 2014, when we decided to do the DFAC Worlds, I wasn't sure about Dream Tan. I think they said it was banned. And I remember saying to Law as was walking from the hotel to the venue, hey, I'm hearing people saying this is banned. What if it is, then I won't be able to compete. And he said to me, you know, shoot Vicky an email. So I'm like, you know, well, she's at the venue right now. So even if she answers, it probably won't be until 2 or 3 days. I'm used to getting a response from an email 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. So 2 or 3 days for me was, you know, he's like, you know, shoot it to her anyways. And to my surprise, by the time I sent the email, I got a response. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself that, okay, yeah, I'm thinking to myself, maybe she just stayed home. Maybe she's not at the show. And then I got to the show and Vicky's back there, you know, she's back there getting everybody ready and telling everybody where to go. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, how is this woman doing all of this and responding to emails? She must have somebody. And no, sure enough, she had her phone in her hand and, you know, she was expediting stuff backstage and she was watching the show at the same time and she was answering emails and she was answering text messages. And I was just taken back like, wow, the president of an organization that cares this much about an organization and about the athletes, I was just really taken back by that. And, you know, I just fell in love with the DFAC ever since then.
No, yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the main reasons of why Joey and I decided to stick with the DFAC. And I'll tell you, obviously, we support many, there are many, many, many different great federations. And I always say that sometimes it's more of a promoter. You know, they are, especially in our area here, we do have some really good promoters that we do support. You know, but when it came down to picking an organization, well, once we saw how passionate they are, I mean, the fact that they're coming from Scotland, I mean, yeah, across absolutely. The world, and they're flying out here to help us and do all these things for us.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's hard to comprehend, but wow. I mean, that's just so much work.
And that's while she was trying to prep for this year world.
Exactly.
That's yeah. why she was still in prep.
It's crazy. Hey, Siobhan, now, going back, how many shows have you been in, around 20, 30? There's been quite a bit, correct?
Yeah, it's been quite a bit.
Oh, okay. Is there one show that sticks out in your head? Now, this is an opinionated sport. Is there one show that sticks out in your head saying that, damn, I had that show? To you, is there one show that left a sour taste in your mouth?
I mean, honestly, and again, this is not about, you know, and so many people, as soon as, you know, you say something, it's not about you being a sore loser. It's about, like I said, your opinion.
True.
You know, this year, I definitely felt like I had the overall pose on WNBF Worlds.
Okay.
I definitely felt like I should have had, you know, the win at the Yurton Cup. But again, it's a very objective sport. You know what
totally,
I mean?
And, totally.
And, you know, no one could ever be upset about losing to a guy like Brian. You know, Brian is a phenomenal athlete and he's an incredible person. So, you know, losing to Brian, it wasn't say that, you know, I was upset, but I felt, and from what I got from the audience and from everyone who was sitting there, most of them felt, you know, I had those two shows won. But again, you know, it's a very objective sport. You know, it's not about how you win. They say it's about how you lose. You know what I mean? And the same way you win gracefully, you have to lose gracefully, whether you think you should have lost or not. But, you know, I mean, I think those are two of the shows of recent years that I definitely felt like, you know, I should have had. But, again, it's a very objective sport, and that's just my opinion. I don't know what it is that the judges were looking for on that day. I don't know what they were seeing on stage that day. So, you know, it was all in their hands, and, you know, I'm pretty sure they made the right call.
Okay.
All right. If you can also, I remember back last year in New York when we had the DFAC meeting in New York City, and you and David Kay had a little rivalry going. You know, if you can let us know about how did that start.
Oh, man, David Kay is an amazing athlete and a great competitor, a very nice guy. You know, even though we tease each other a lot, during the off season or even during prep, you know, pretty much once or twice a week, David was checking in on me. Hey, champ, how's it going? I was training out, and I was doing the same thing. So, you know, it's not really like, you know, there was some kind of bitter rivalry, but it was just more like, yeah, you're not going to get me this year. I'm going to be that guy. And it's like, yeah, you could go ahead and try, but just like last year, I'm going to be that guy again. You know, it was just more like, you know, it was just more on that level. But I have a great deal of respect for David Kay. You know, he's one of those few champions that, you know, I just have a ton of respect for. You know, the guy's a really good guy. You know, he's competitive, but it doesn't let it get to him. You know, he knows how to be a great competitor and at the same time be a good friend.
That's what it's all about.
And by the way, Siobhan, how is your training going now?
I mean, training is pretty good. You know, can't complain. Training is pretty good. I mean, training is never perfect. And, you know, I've never met anyone that says, oh, training is going perfectly. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs and bumps in the road, just like when prepping for a show. And, you know, it's all about how you deal with them. You know what I mean? It's all about how you adapt and how you deal. And training is good for the most part, though. I can't complain.
And just going back last year, I know after the Miami show, you know, obviously, you know, we saw there where David Kay won the overall. And then, you know, and me myself thinking, I'm thinking, wow, like if that was me, I mean, I would be so upset, so this. And right after, you were hanging out with the whole entire Buffalo crew, cracking jokes and just it was an awesome experience. Just, and especially for them, for we have so many new athletes that it was their first time at Worlds. And for them to be hanging out with, you know, with Siobhan Cunningham, the world champ, that was just awesome, man. But if I had to bring it back to now, and I would say, you know, what has changed since then? Because the year before that, I know you have won the WMBF World Championship, and last year you won the DFAC, and after giving up those two titles, you know, how is your mindset right now? Like, what's going on in your head?
I mean, honestly, right now, you know, it's pretty much the same thinking process. You know, I train and, you know, I train as hard as I can, and then, you know, towards the middle of the year, I kind of assess where I'm at, you know what I mean? And then I figure out what I'm going to do from there or start to think about my next step, you know. But if for right now, losing to David Kay is not something that's sitting well with me, even though David Kay is a great guy. And, you know, I'm hungry to get back up there and, you know, reclaim that title. But, it all sort of depends on, you know, what the rest of this offseason brings. You know, if I decide that this might be the year I decide to sit one out, or, you know, I'm going to get back in there. But the thing I notice is that I always feel like, yeah, I'm just going to take this year off. And then, you know, I see guys competing. I'm like, no, just start getting that hitch again. And before you know it, I'm in prep. And before you know it, I'm on stage. So, you know, I just have to see how the offseason goes and, you know, the progress that I'm making or that I've made. And, you know, that's usually when I take it from there and, you know, decide what I'm going to do with the rest of the year.
If you had to send David Kay a message in Jamaican, what would he say?
Watch your back, me. I come back from a title.
Oh, you heard it, David Kay. You heard it.
And Siobhan, so I think in this industry, we meet a lot of people that are, obviously a lot of good people, but also some people that they let stuff get to their head. And, you know, once they start looking good, they start thinking, oh, you know, I can do this by myself. But I think it says a lot that, again, you're one of the best in the whole world. I would say the best or one of the best, you can say, but you still have a coach.
Well, you know, being the best or being one of the best is up for interpretation. And you know, it's not even so much that, you know, you have a coach, but for me, it's more like, you know, Law is a great guy. You know, I met Law in 2013 when I was getting ready to do a Connecticut show where I hurt myself. And I hurt my back and was planning pulling out of the show. And then, you know, this guy sent me a message on Facebook, and, you know, we start talking. It's like, you know, I was explaining to him that I just hurt myself, so I might be done for the year. And it's like, you know, I can help you. You know, let me help you. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what's in this for you? You know, because in this industry, nobody does anything for anyone for free. You know what I mean? Or, you know, from my experience anyway, you know, it's, you know, so I'm, in my head, I'm like, you know, well, what's in this for you? And, you know, he helped me, and, you know, that's the year I ended up going on to winning my first world title. That was a WNBF world title. And, you know, ever since then, you know, whenever time it comes to competition, Law, I've just been that guy. You know, that's the only person that has ever prepped me. Because, for one, I know and I respect a great deal not just law and what he does, but one of the things I respect the most about him is he is brutally honest. You know, if you're not looking good, he's not going to tell you, oh, you got it. He's going to tell you, you're not looking good. You know, you need to sit this one out, or, you know, you need to really push yourself to meet that deadline. To fit. You know, I've been at shows with him, and, you know, athlete come off stage, and everybody's telling the athlete, oh, you know, you got this one. And, you know, they're athletes that we coach. And, you know, Law will just straight up tell them, like, you know, yeah, if you maybe third or second, but you didn't win it. And I'm sitting there looking at him like, you sure you want to be telling our athletes that? And, you know, just watching that and hearing his response is like, you know, you can't lie to these guys, because then you give them a false sense of hope. You know what I mean? You give them a false sense of what to expect. Like, you have to be honest with them, so when they get up there and things don't go their way, they're not upset, because, you know, you have so many coaches that just lies to athlete. Or, you know, I've seen coaches tell an athlete, yeah, you should do that show, you're definitely going to win it. And in my head, it's like, how do you know that? How do you know who's going to show up at that show? How could you promise somebody you win? You know, and that's one thing I love about, you know, coaching and, you know, getting involved in coaching and, you know, just learning as much as I can from Law and from, you know, the industry is like, you know, I never promise my athletes or anyone to win. What I do promise is I will get you in the best competition shape you've ever been in, which I've, you know, always kept and exceed, but I will never promise any athlete you're going to win or, you know, but when it comes to, you know, competition time, you know, that's probably the only, if not one of the very few people I trust to say, hey, you know, because I'm very critical when it comes to me, you know, looking at myself, I'm very critical. I need to do this. I need to do it. And, you know, he'll tell me like, get out of your head, calm down. You're fine. You know what I mean? And sometimes they tell me, hey, I don't know what you've been doing, but you need to cut it out. Get back on your plan and, you know, stick to the game plan. And, you know, you need somebody like that in your corner who's honest with you. You know, that's the only way you could be the best and be the best that you can be, is if there's somebody telling you, listen, not just what you want to hear, but the truth and what you need to hear. So, you know, working with Law so far has been a great experience.
And for those of you who don't know Law, it's Law Payne. He's in Atlanta? No,
he's in Kansas City.
Kansas City, yeah, that's right, Kansas City.
He's in Kansas City, yeah.
And what do you think, so by the time you started working with him, I mean, basically training style and nutrition-wise, what changed then? Have you had to compare it from the time before, pre-Law, and then after Law?
I mean, it's just a great abundance of knowledge that, you know, stuff that I really didn't know or know that much about, really. That has changed. You know, he has helped me understood a lot of things. It helped me, you know, like I said, you know, really understand the importance of dialing in and conditioning. You know what I mean? Usually I had the misconception that, you know, it's the biggest guy and the most muscular guy that's going to win. But, you know, he's really helped me understand, you know, diet and nutrition to its fullest extent. And, you know, that you need a balance. You can't just be the biggest guy on stage, you know, because I've done competitions where I weighed in at, like, let's say 183, the biggest guy was 230. And you know what I mean? I still come out with the win. So, you know, from him, I've learned that, you know, it's not all about size. You know what I mean? It's about quality, not quantity. So I would say that's one of the most important things I've learned before working with Law and since working with him.
Now, Siobhan, you train clients yourself too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, where can they, let's give you a little plug. How can they reach Siobhan Cunningham for the people that want to work with you?
I'm on Facebook at Siobhan Cunningham, or I'm on Instagram at IamLegend10. That's IAM_Legend10. And, you know, that's pretty much how they can reach me. You can reach me by my email, Siobhan11691@AOL.com. You know, that's always a sure bet. But, you know, for the most part, those are the three most places that you could find me.
That's awesome.
Now, do you work with clients that are competing for shows, or do you also train with the public population?
I mean, we train everyone. You know what I mean? Whether it is someone that's looking to get on stage, somebody that's just looking to lose a few pounds, somebody that's looking to put on a few pounds, you know, somebody that's sick and just looking to manage their sickness via training. You know, we train everyone. We work with everyone. We have the knowledge and the experience to train everyone and know that, you know, one plan doesn't work for everyone. So, you know, we customize and tailor plans to individual needs. And, you know, so we work with everyone, just about everyone.
Okay, Siobhan, now as you compete, is there any like mini Siobhans you see in the upcoming ranks that could possibly like, wow, he reminds me a lot like me?
I mean, the sad thing is like most of these guys or most of these athletes when I meet them, is a terrible trait that I have. I don't really remember people by name, but by face. You know what I mean? So to give you a name off the top of my head right now, I am terrible with names, but when I see them at shows, I'm like, oh yeah, there's that guy I remember from last year, or you know, there's that guy that reminds me a lot of myself. So you know, it's mostly like that.
Remember? Do you remember Brett Freeman?
Brett Freeman. No, I can't say I do.
See, yeah, you don't remember names. You just remember faces.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just faces. I remember faces, not names. Definitely.
I see you, Siobhan. Okay, now what other hobbies do you have? I mean, everyone knows you as this fitness guru, this fitness guy. What other hobbies do you have, whether it be in season or off season?
I mean, my most enjoyable thing is just hanging out with my son, you know, and spending time with my wife and my son, spending time with family. You know, to me, that's most important. That's more important than anything. You know, that's I love the stage, but I love them more. You know what I mean? So, you know, even if I'm competing, I always make time for them. You know, competing, it's a bit more difficult, but I always make sure that I make time for them. And, you know, that's what I spend most of my free time doing, you know, just with my family pretty much, you know, playing some soccer every now and then, you know, that kind of stuff. But for the most part, I just spend as much time as I can with my wife and my son.
That's awesome.
Wow. Now, what are the things maybe that you enjoy doing in your off season, but you're limited once you're in contest prep?
I mean, are we talking about food wise or just hanging out?
Everything,
food, everything.
The funny thing is like every year it changes food wise. Every year it changes. You know, I remember a few years ago it was jerk chicken and rice. Then last year it was just pizza. Like in the whole prep, all I could think about is pizza. All I wanted was pizza. So, you know, it changes year to year. But, you know, again, you know, when it comes to, you know, when it comes to competition season, I spend more time in the gym because I also have to add in cardio and, you know, training becomes a bit slower from, you know, just being, you know, don't have that much energy as you usually do. So, you know, that tends to take a little bit of family time away and a little bit of time away from, you know, what I want to do. But, you know, apart from that, there's really not much that I do in the off season that I don't do, you know, when I'm training. You know, I try to keep my life the same balance. I don't really like changes, so I just try to keep things simple.
Wow. And Siobhan, I know you mentioned before you weren't sure what you were doing yet, but if I had to ask you again, what are your plans to compete? Let us know, because I know last year.
No, because I remember asking him in Miami, and with a straight face, he goes, "No, Joe, I'm done. Sure as shit. About 2 weeks later, there he is. Yeah, okay.
Siobhan likes to do those secret shows. Just show up during the show, and bam,
like
I'm here.
Said, you know, honestly, I'm really, you know, thinking about Miami again this year. You know,
oh, David.
Thinking about Miami, I'm thinking about, you know, doing a few other organizations. You know, there's a few organizations that I've, you know, competing that, you know, I've just decided it's time for us to part ways. You know, I mean, as much as I love the organization, you know, and, you know, WNBF is where I got my start. I'll always love the WNBF. But, you know, over the years, you know, just the way of them doing business and the way I see they treat athletes and, you know, it's just that I just feel like, you know, it's time. You know, the time has come. I will always love the WNBF. I will always have a place in my heart, but I just feel like for right now, it's time for me to just take a step back and, you know, let them go in whatever direction that they feel the need to go in. And, you know, I'll just venture off into whatever direction I feel is best for me. But at the same time, it's not like, you know, I have a problem with anyone in the WNBF. You know, I don't have any real problems with, you know, the people that are in charge. You know, it's just, it seems that, you know, if you have questions, you're not supposed to ask questions. You're supposed to be tired. You're supposed to be quiet. You're not supposed to question anything or question anyone, or you know, you're not supposed to ask for information, or you're not supposed to ask, well, why is this way and why was that way? You know, so for right now, you know, I just feel like it's time for me and the WNBF to go our separate ways. Not to say that I would never step foot back on the WNBF stage again. But, you know, for right now, that's just where, you know, we're at. You know, that's where I am at. You know, I can't speak for them, but that's just where I'm at. I know I've, you know, spoken to Nancy, and, you know, she has told me, you know, not to make any rash decision, you know, out of anger or whatever the case is. But it's not out of anger. You know, it's been coming for a while now. Just, you know, the road I've seen him going through, going down. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, that's not a path I want to go down. And, you know, I will continue to support him in any way that I can. If I have athletes that want to do their show, I'll not get in their way. If I know anyone that wants to do their show, I'm not getting in their way. You know, but as far as I go, it's time for me to move on. There's a ton of other organizations out there, and, you know, I just feel like it's time I explore some of these organizations and see what they have to offer.
I don't blame you, Siobhan. At the end of the day, you got to do whatever the frig you want, because you're the one dieting, and you're the one that's going through it. So I don't
absolutely.
I don't blame absolutely. You. Siobhan, I want to know who motivates you. So, like, let's say 2 weeks out, your testosterone's very low. You're just feeling like, you know, prep is you know, the weight of the world is on your shoulders. What gets you through it? Who motivates you? Is there anyone that you, like, follow?
I mean, to be honest with you, when it comes to stuff like that, you know, one of the few people that I really go to, you know, is Richard Kroll. And people always say, you know, people would always say, well, you know, this guy is not one of the elite. You know, he's probably never won any big pro titles. But, you know, to me, it's not about the titles that you've won. To me, it's about the level of respect that you have for your fellow athlete. And to me, it's about how long you've been. A guy like Richard Kroll has been in the business for years. You know, he's been in the game for years. There's pretty much nothing that you could bring to his attention but that he wouldn't know about. But again, because he doesn't have 100,000 followers, or, you know, he's not just one of those big mouths to be talking all the time, people tend to forget about guys like that. And when you mention, like, who? And, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, this guy is one of those guys that's always checking in on me. You know, hey, champ, how's it going? How you feeling? You know, I feel comfortable enough for any questions I have, I could ask him, and I know he's always honest with me. You know, apart from that, you know, Law, I always, you know, speak with Law when it comes down to that point in time. You know, when I'm at that point where, you know, I'm 2 weeks out, and, you know, that's when, you know, Law really step up and he's checking on me on a day-to-day basis, like, you know, twice a day sometimes. Hey, champ, how's it going? How you feeling? You know, apart from that, my wife is amazing when it comes to stuff like that. You know, she's always telling me, you know, you look like you at the end, but you got it. Because, like I said, Joe, even Miami this year when I told you I was done, I went home and I felt like, you know, I should have had David Kay. And, you know, I was down for a bit. And, you know, I reached out to some of the judges and they gave me their feedback as to why they scored the way they did. And, you know, I got home and my wife could see that I was down. I'm like, you know, yeah, I'm done for the year. And she's like, no, you're not. She's like, no, you're not. She's like, you know, you can't let this get you down. She's like, you know, I know you could do this. You have 2 to 3 weeks left. Let's go. You can do this. And, you know, every day I'll come in and, you know, I'm beat and I'm dragging ass. She's like, I could see that you're tired, but you could do this. I know you can do this. You're almost there. So, you know, my wife is one of my biggest motivations, honestly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. Look at that.
Have you now? Has she always been in your corner since you've been competing, or is, I mean, I don't know when you started dating her or seeing her.
We started dating about 4.5 years ago, and believe it or not, when we met, she knew nothing about none of this.
Okay.
You know, she knew nothing about the sports, but, you know, she's such an amazing woman. Where, you know, ever since we started dating, and, you know, she kind of gotten an insight of what it is that I do on the side when I'm not at work, or when it comes to that time of year, she's just always been super supportive. You know, I mean, there are times when, you know, I walk in and, you know, I'm grouchy and I'm, you know, just grumpy, and, you know, she understands it. She understands that, you know, if I snap, not to take it personal, you know, she just leave the room and, you know, she'll come back and I'll apologize if I snapped it or whatever. And she's like, you know, I understand, you know, it's that week out or that 2 weeks out. I get it. But, you know, She's just always been in my corner. She's an amazing person, and, you know, it's great to have somebody like that in your corner.
Now, yeah. How many times a day do people confuse her for Beyonce?
Don't tell her that. Don't tell her that. Every day. About every day. I swear, every day.
She looks just like her.
Man, even at work, and, you know, because I just moved to Jersey, and, you know, I'm at work, and people there is like, oh, so you're married, and I saw a picture of my wife's leg. Isn't that Beyonce? I'm like, oh, boy. Don't tell her that. Don't tell her that. But she gets it all the time. She gets it all the time.
Siobhan, when you're done, let's say you know your fitness journey ends 10, 15, 20 years from now. What do you want to leave on this earth? When someone says Siobhan Cunningham, what do they want to get out of that? What do you want them to get out of that name?
You know, when I've always said, you know, once I'm said and done, I want to leave a legacy and a name where, you know, when people say Siobhan Cunningham, you know, you could have 100 people say, now that was a bodybuilder. You know, that's a guy that was true to the sport. That's a guy who carried himself a great class. You know, that's a guy that understand just as bad as he wanted to win, that he can't win them all. You know what I mean? That's a guy who showed everyone respect. Whether you were the amateur competing for the first time or you were the pro that's standing next to him that could beat him. You know, that's a guy that's always smiling, that's always happy, and just always willing to talk to anybody and share information and knowledge with any and everyone. And, you know, that's the legacy I want to leave behind. And, you know, I've always said I want to make sure that if my son decides that he wants to take on this sport, he knows. Not that, you know, he has to fill his father's shoes, but I've always said I will make sure, let him know, like, listen, this is not a game. This is not a joke. If you're not going to give 120% to it, don't. You know, just stay away from it. So, you know, I've always wanted to leave a legacy behind where, you know, even if, you know, you was to talk to somebody in the sport or somebody knew about the sport, they could tell him, you know, your father now, that was a good man. You know what I mean? And as far as, you know, that goes, you know, as long as I could have people, I know that everybody's going to like me and not everyone is going to like what I stand for. But, you know, when people could tell you that was a good man with a good heart who did as much as he can for everyone else, that's all that's important to me. And that's all I want to leave behind.
Wow.
And if you had a maybe, it can be related to fitness or just life in general. Maybe one mistake that you did earlier in your years that you maybe, if you had a message to pass on either to your son or to maybe some of those younger competitors or just people watching, you know, what mistake did you do and what can they do to avoid it?
You know, back when I was younger, I was, you know, as they say, I was in the streets. And, you know, I would tell anyone, you know, running the streets, just being in the streets is not good for no one. There's only two places that will lead you, in prison or in the cemetery. You know, that's not a life that anyone, I mean, it's difficult to tell kids out there without families or without a mother and father there to watch over them that, you know, stay out of the street. But, you know, learning from my mistake, you know, and from the mistakes that I've made, you know, that's something I would advise anyone to stay away from. That's not a life for anyone.
So you mentioned, how old were you when you came to the U.S. from Jamaica?
I was probably like 16 years old. Yeah, I think I came December 24th, one day before Christmas. I was 16 years old.
Wow. If you could maybe let us know, maybe how was it growing up in Jamaica? Where part of Jamaica are you from?
I'm from St. Catherine in Jamaica. You know, growing up in Jamaica, we really didn't have much. You know, we had the necessity to get by. You know, the luxuries that I see people have here that they still complain about not having enough. You know, sometimes it breaks my heart because I know back home there's many people that would have died for something like that, or there's still people out there that will, you know, really appreciate that stuff. You know, I know growing up, if I had half the things I see people here with, you know, I would have been a really happy person. But then again, I look back at my life and I'm like, and everything happens for a reason, because if I was that fortunate, maybe I wouldn't have been the man that I am today. You know what I mean? Maybe I would have taken a completely different route. Maybe I wouldn't be able to teach my son about integrity and, you know, being honest and, you know, having a good character and making sure that you stand by your word, even if it's not the right thing for you, even if it doesn't feel like it's going to benefit you, you know, but if it's your word, you need to stand by it, you know. And, you know, growing back up, you know, growing up back home, you know, like I said, we really didn't have much, you know, but we were happy with the little that we had. You know what I mean? And, you know, to me, that was a blessing. So I'm here, and, you know, now that I've made it to the States and, you know, things that I see people complain about on a daily basis, I really just pray for them because they have no idea how ungrateful they're being. You know what I mean? I just, in my heart, I just pray for them. Like, you know, I pray that you will never have to experience what true poverty is, what really having nothing feels like. You know, so that's my story growing up back home.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that point. Last year, around this time last year, I took a trip. It was a company trip, but the week before that, I went to see my family in Dominican Republic. And I was able to see some towns out there. And man, again, I mean, I have this video up on YouTube and Facebook of what I actually saw there. And I mean, again, we complain so much about the littlest things ever. I mean, things like I'm not getting good cell phone reception.
Yeah.
little things like that. And people in some countries have to literally travel miles and miles to get their water for the day. I mean, stop and think about that for a second. You know, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
What some people
I absolutely agree. You have to get a bucket and, you know, walk miles and miles to just go get a bucket of clean drinking water. You know what I mean? To bring back home. And, you know, like you said, that you come here and you see the things that people complain about and you're like, wow, that's it? You're not getting good cell service? That's your biggest problem, huh? You have no idea what problems are, buddy. So I completely agree.
Hey, Siobhan, I tend not to post a lot on Facebook because my mouth might get me in trouble. But I want to know how many natural bodybuilders do you or pros or whatever do you really consider natural? Like, what's your idea of natural when someone says I'm a natural bodybuilder?
I mean, like I said, you know, I'm not gonna call names and I'm not gonna point, but you know, we being in the sport for a while, we know. Those are full of crap about being natural. And, you know, you got a guy that's putting on 10, 15 pounds of muscle a year and you're natural. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You friggin' liar.
Sure. You are. Sure. You know, so, you know, we know and we see them and, you know, it's really just about a handful of guys out there that are really, you know what I mean? And this is not a shot at anyone by any means, but, you know, I also feel like, you know, you can't call yourself a natural if some point in time you failed any kind of drug test. You know what I mean? Which clearly says that you weren't playing by the rules. And there's so many of these guys out there that they just fail tests, and once they fail it, they just bounce to a different organization. You know what I mean? And it's like, how can you honestly say that you're natural? You know, when you're failing tests left and right and just jump into other organization. And, you know, that's one of the things that frustrates me the most, that there's really no boundaries on that kind of stuff. You know, you feel here, you just jump there. You know, nobody in another organization is saying, well, you know what? Even though you're a big name and, you know, you're a great athlete, you fail over there. So, yeah, you can't come here until your band is lifted from over there. You know, they're happy to take you with open arms. And I think that's one of the reasons why this sport is so corrupt, because every organization have their different rules on what natural is and what's allowed. And it's like, you know, the DFAC use water, and as a natural athlete, I don't see why anyone would, or a natural organization, I don't see why they would not want to use the guidelines that's going to be the strictest for the athlete. That's the only thing that I have never got. I just can't grasp it. You know, if water is the more strict, you know, testing federation, and you say you're running a natural organization, why would you not want to go with the strictest? You know, was going to make sure that everyone is playing fair. So, you know, that's one of the things that frustrates me the most right now is, you know, seeing all these guys that we know is not natural and we know is not playing fair, and they're being hailed as the best and, you know, one of the greatest, and you're just sitting there shaking your like, okay, yeah, sure. But what can you do?
What can you do?
But yeah, we agree, especially with the drug testing, just like you said. I mean, I don't understand how the federation would not go under the strictest drug testing guidelines. I mean, we are natural bodybuilding. It's supposed to be natural bodybuilding. You know, you don't have, you know, natural baseball. You don't have, you know, natural basketball. You know, there is natural bodybuilding for that purpose. So this is a subject that I am very passionate about too, especially drug testing, especially when you mentioned that certain federations do allow failed athletes to compete. Man, it should be, and that's how the DFAC is, and I think some of the federations are like that too, is you fail one time, you're banned for life. There's no 5-year suspension, 7-year suspension. If you purposely took something in the illegal bent substance list, a steroid, a hormone, if you purposely took a steroid in order for you to cheat at a natural bodybuilding show, what respect are you showing for the sport?
I completely agree. You know, it's one thing if you took a product that had a banned ingredient in it that you didn't know about. That's one thing. But when you purposely and intentionally try to cheat, you should definitely be banned for life. That's not even a question. You know, and I don't understand, because, you know, like I said, and going back to, you know, Richard Carlin, one of the guys I look up to in the sport, like he once said, you know, you don't cheat, get caught, get banned for 7 years and go find Jesus and decide you're going to do the right thing now. You know, now you just find better ways of cheating to not get caught. That's pretty much all that happens. You know, you have all this time on your hands to just figure out better ways of cheating and not get caught. You know, especially when you're intentionally cheating and, you know, you're intentionally trying to hide the fact that you're cheating. So, you know, that's my outlook on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think intentions do matter. And obviously I think that everyone is responsible for what they put in their body. And even if it's a substance that it's in a supplement, but again, intentions do matter. And sometimes, you know, that happens. But when it is clear on the drug test, and I'm not talking about the polygraph, but when I'm talking about the urine test, when it is clear that a certain person failed for XYZ steroid, they should be banned for life. And I know with the DFAC, it is, you fail once, you're banned for life. And that's what I love about the DFAC.
Yeah, absolutely.
And honestly, I hope that every other federation should get under that, because, again, we're the only sport that has natural attached in front of it.
You know, let me just put it this way, Romer. If WADA is good enough for our Olympic athletes to be guided by and tested by, why wouldn't it be good enough for natural bodybuilding? You know, these are athletes that's representing our country. And, you know, the WADA is the one that tests them, and he's the one that set the guidelines for them. And I don't understand why, you know, every national organization wouldn't want the strictest possible policies possible to try and keep out the cheaters and try and keep out the guys that are not playing fair and, you know, trying to corrupt the sport.
Completely agree with you there.
So do I.
So, Siobhan, any last words you want to give out to your fans?
Fans, such an interesting word. You know, like I always try to tell, you know, I know prep could be difficult. I know sometimes, you know, we get discouraged, lose focus, and I always try to tell anyone, you know, just keep in mind the goal that you set for yourself before you started. And, you know, every time you feel discouraged or you feel afraid, just think about the end. You know what I mean? And, you know, think about why you started that prep or why you started this journey. You know, it's so easy to lose sight, especially when you're on social media and you see this person, like I said, eating an old pie on his cheat day. And you're thinking, man, I need that right now. You need to stay focused. I'm 2 weeks out. I'm 3 weeks out. You know what? This person might be able to do this and get away with it, but it's not for me. I want to win. I just don't want to compete just to compete. And, you know, it frustrates me when I also see coaches just throw athletes on stage that's not ready. You know, you're embarrassing not just yourself, but that athlete. You know, if you're a coach and you know that your athlete is not ready, pull him out of that show. Tell him, hey, let's shoot for something 4 weeks more down the road. Give yourself another 4 weeks. You know, I go to shows and I see bikini girls, or I see figure girls, or just look like, you know, you just walked on stage out of McDonald's. And, you know, their coaches are back then. I'm like, wow, you guys really don't have a conscience, huh? You took these people money and didn't let them go on stage looking like that. Wow. You know what I mean? Even if you're a prep coach and you don't know what you're doing, you're supposed to know that a person don't look right. And I think that's another thing that happened with most of these cereal box pro car winners, like, as we were talking about earlier. Most of these guys, they just compete to get that pro status, and before you know it, they're prep coaches. They know nothing about nutrition. They know nothing about the body and how it works with your prep coaches. And, you know, again, one plan doesn't work for everyone. So you can't just give everyone the same plan and expect it to work for them. You know, the other day I was at work, and this young lady, I saw her eating carrots. And I said to her, I'm like, you on a diet or something? She's like, yeah, you know, my coach competes and she has me on a diet. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'm like, so what's your diet like? She's like, yeah, for now, it's just white fish, no carbs. You know, she said, I'm not ready for carbs until I start losing weight. I'm like, really? And she competes. I'm like, okay. And then later on in the week, she showed me a picture of her, and I'm like, oh, okay, everything makes sense now. This whole thing makes sense now. Because if she looks like that and she competes, then it all makes sense now. You know, it's never a good thing, and I'll tell this to every athlete. It's never a good thing when your coach pulls carbs from you completely. It's never a good thing when you're just eating fish with no carbs. That's never a good thing. You know, so if you have a prep coach that is, you know, telling you that there's certain foods that you can't eat, it's one thing with telling you that you can have certain foods in moderation or certain foods that you should stay away from. But if your prep solely consists of broccoli and chicken breasts, maybe it's time you start looking for a different prep coach.
And Siobhan, if they need a new prep coach, again, tell them, how do they get in touch with you?
You could definitely find me on Facebook at Siobhan Cunningham. You can find me on Instagram, IamLegend10, I_am_legend10. You could just email me at Siobhan11691@AOL.com.
Awesome.
I mean, we have been doing this for a while. And, you know, one of the things why I never really got into coaching until a few years ago, I always wanted to make sure, I've always told myself that when I do, I want to have an abundance of knowledge so I know what I'm doing. And you know what I mean? Linking up with law, between the schooling and the experience is just like, you know, an abundance of knowledge on this team right here. So, you know, we have so many people going pro last year. We won, I think, over 15 world titles last year. I mean, we do really good numbers every year, you know. So, you know, you could check out our website at you can even check out our website as at teamartbodycoaching.com, and you know, you could see everything that we're doing there.
Awesome.
Well, there you go, guys. Siobhan, thank you very much for today. It was very exciting interview.
Yes. Stay good, baby. Stay good.
We definitely got
an honor,
you
guys. Thank you guys for having me.
Maybe before Worlds, we can have you and David on at the same time.
Man, double trouble.
I don't know if you guys have a room big enough for that.
Yeah. Woo-wee!
There you go. Thank you again,
thanks
Siobhan.
Again, Siobhan.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
You too.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's another episode of the ABF All Business Fitness Podcast. Roman Mendez and Joe Rich. Again, please remember, subscribe. We have more videos coming soon.
Who do you want to see? Who do you guys want to see?
Let us know. Email us. Let us know on our Facebook page, on our Instagram page, on our YouTube page. Let us know. Our goal is to bring on the best of the best on here and bring you some just real conversations. That's our goal. We want to be as real as possible. But subscribe, guys. Thank you. See you next episode.